Today, we're not going to try to do the whole Bible in one sermon, but we're going to talk about total forgiveness. We're in this series, Life with Jesus, and I'll start with this story. I assume it's a true story. I mean, if it's in print, it's a true story, right? There was a young executive who was just hired, who was leaving the office at the end of the day, when he found the CEO, remember who it is, the CEO, standing in front of a shredder with a piece of paper in his hand. "Listen," said the CEO, "this is important, and my secretary left. Can you make this thing work?" "Certainly," said the young executive. He turned the machine on, inserted the paper, and pressed the start button. "Excellent, excellent," said the CEO as his paper disappeared inside the machine. "It's an important classified document, so I just need one copy." I think some of you missed the point there. It was a shredder, right? So the question is, will this young executive be forgiven? In a corporate setting, this would be an unforgivable sin, I think. It was probably his last day at work. Well, we have sometimes tried to relate to God as a CEO of some kind of company that demands perfect behavior, without which, you know, you're going to get fired because you've really messed up. That's sort of the way we feel. We have dread at the dreaded deed for which there is really no forgiveness, even though Jesus said, basically, the only sin that's unforgivable is sin against the Holy Spirit, which means resisting God until after you die. Continuing to say no to God, that's the only unforgivable sin. But we carry with us, many of us, shame, guilt, and a fear of punishment for something that we have said, or something we've thought, or something we've done, or something we haven't done. And this is true not only for people who don't know Jesus. Lots and lots of people walk through this world ashamed and guilty for things they have done or not done, said or not said, thought or not thought. But it's also true of many people who have come to Jesus and even asked forgiveness of their sins. It's as though they create a special category, one area or two or three areas in their past that they keep getting reminded of and reminded of and reminded of, and it just tears them down and tears them down. And they live with the guilt and shame of that. I know, because there have been seasons of my life that I have lived that way. You see, we have all the things we know are destructive that God has told us not to do. There's the Ten Commandments, of course, but there are lots and lots of things in the Bible against lying and cheating and stealing, greed, coveting, being jealous, hatred, sexual sins, mistreating others, wrong kinds of anger, and on and on and on. And, you know, there's the sin of betraying God, which we'll see in a minute. Somebody in the New Testament actually betrayed Jesus. He betrayed Jesus. And so most of us carry in our heads and hearts memories of things like these, for which we only at best hope there is forgiveness. I just want you to stop and take assessment for a moment, especially for those who consider yourselves Christians, you consider yourself, you've come to Jesus, you've asked Him to come into your heart. Just think for a minute, are there things from your past or things that overshadow you that make you less than joyful because it's like, how could I have done such a thing as that? How could I have said such a thing as that? How could I have thought such a thing as that? Am I really accepted by God? Am I really, really loved by God? I look around me at all the other people and I think, boy, they're so lucky, they're so blessed, they don't have to carry this kind of thing. So just think for a minute. Just think for a minute and ask yourself, is that me? Well, the one thing you're going to see on the screen right now, our problem, guilt and shame from the things we have thought, said, done, or left undone. That's our problem. And it's certainly true for those who've never come to Jesus, as well as for many who have come to Jesus. So what I'm praying will happen today is that by the time you leave here, every person in this room will know that you are totally, permanently forgiven of everything that's ever displeased God, everything you've ever been ashamed of, everything you've ever been guilty of. You don't have to carry it anymore. You see, when God forgives, He totally forgives. When God forgives, He totally forgives. He's not like a human being. He completely wipes the slate clean and then He throws away the slate. This is the kind of God we have. People aren't like that. One of the most famous sayings in the human race is, well, I can forgive, but I can't forget. Well, this is not what God says about Himself. In Psalm 103, we read these words, "Praise the Lord, my soul, and all my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives most of your sins." Is that what it says? "Who forgives all of your sins. He heals all your diseases. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." So God has promised us, even in the Old Testament, even before the revelation of Jesus Christ, He's promised us that when we come to Him in the appropriate way, He forgives everything, everything, all of it, no matter what it is. And so then we ask, how is God able to do this? How is He able, you know, if you've done something wrong, if you've done things that are evil, if you've thought things that are evil, if you've said things that are evil, how can God just show up and say, you're forgiven? It's as though it never happened. Is it like magic? You know, is it some kind of a weird thing that God has where He just kind of winks at our sin and says, let's just forget that that happened? No. How can He do this? How can God do this thing of total forgiveness? Well, we read in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. So this is how God is able to forgive our sins and not just kind of sweep them under the rug. It's because He Himself, you see, God is the Father, God is the Son, God is the Holy Spirit. So God the Son of God, who is God, came to be the atoning sacrifice for all of our sins. That means He died because of our sins. Why don't you say with me, Jesus died because of my sins. Jesus died because of my sins. So you see, if Jesus dies because of your sin has been paid for. Your sin is washed away. Once you come to Him for forgiveness, it's as though you never sinned. He forgives all our sins. He removes our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. Here's another wonderful passage of Scripture that teaches this, and this is from the Message translation, Hebrews chapter 10. As a priest, Christ made a single sacrifice for sins, and that was it. How about that? Is that up there? Is that up there? Then He sat down right beside God and waited for His enemies to cave in. It was a perfect sacrifice by a perfect person to perfect some very imperfect people. By that single offering, He did everything that needed to be done for everyone who takes part in the purifying process. He says, I'll forever wipe the slate clean of their sins. Once sins are taken care of for good, there's no longer any need to offer sacrifices for them. Wow. If that blesses you, could you just say something like, yeah. If you want to be a little bit old-fashioned, say amen. Amen. Well, let's get these powerful truths down in our hearts. Because of our sin, Jesus, who's God in the flesh, sacrificed himself. It's not like the Father up there is so angry with us, he says, well, I'm going to take it out on my son. Jesus, get down there and die on the cross. It's not like that. Jesus is God. And he wants to deal with our sins in an appropriate way. He doesn't sweep them under the rug. We have to understand that sin is like a cancer in us. It's like a cancer in God's world. It's like a cancer in God's universe. God has to deal with sin. He has to deal with sin. If he doesn't deal with sin, then there's always, for all eternity, there's going to be war and cancer and wickedness and murder and stealing and lying. Who wants to live forever in a universe like that? God is going to deal with it. And he deals with it at the cross, where he himself dies in our place. And he forever wipes the slate clean of our sin by taking our place. And so here are some things that come from this, according to this verse in Hebrews chapter 10. We have all been made holy through the sacrifice of Jesus. We are declared to be perfect, that is, complete, while we are being made holy. So there's a process of being made holy through our relationship with Jesus. Once we come to God and ask forgiveness of our sins, he forgives us totally. And then he has a lifelong project with you. So from the youngest people in the room, these wonderful young ladies from the Selena house, to the oldest person in the room, who happens to be my mom. I'm pretty sure I'm the second oldest person in the room. From the youngest to the oldest, once we come to God and ask forgiveness through Jesus Christ for our sins, he commits himself to a lifetime process. He says, slate is clean. Now throw away the slate. Let's start over. And then he commits himself to transform us to be like Jesus, his son, so that we become holy. We actually become righteous. But while that's going on, he already declares that we're perfect. He makes a declaration. You are perfect. And he's not winking like, I'm making this up because we know we're not perfect. No, it's a declaration based on what's going to happen in our life. It's as though it's already happened. There's another yeah, okay, yeah. It's as though it's already happened. So, thank you. So no matter how discouraged you might have gotten with yourself, God is not discouraged. He knew what he was getting into when he took your case. And when you ask him to forgive you of your sins, he forgave you because of what he did on the cross. And then he's committed to walk with you through your life until you become actually perfect, actually holy like Jesus. He has, let's say, self-imposed divine amnesia. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus, God no longer remembers our sins. That's what the Bible teaches. He no longer remembers your sin. And my sin. He no longer remembers your sin. So, you know, once you've asked forgiveness for sin, and let's say it's a specific sin that you've asked forgiveness for, and you go back to God the next day and ask forgiveness for the very same thing again, and you didn't commit the same sin again, I think God says, what? What are you talking about? That's erased. That's gone. The slate has been thrown away. It's wiped clean. Your sins are forgiven. Through Jesus. We are forgiven and we cannot contribute one thing to our forgiveness except to ask. Just repent and ask for forgiveness, and there's nothing more you can contribute. That's why it says, once sins are taken care of for good, there's no longer any need to offer sacrifices for them. So you can't beat yourself up. You come to Jesus who was beat up for you. He was beat up by your sins. He was beat up by your transgressions. And so if you know you've come to God and you've said, I know that Jesus died on the cross for me, forgive me of my sins. And you know, you believe it momentarily, and the next day you don't believe it anymore. It's like you're saying, Jesus, you weren't beat up enough, so I'll beat myself up. We carry our guilt and shame, and we continually dredge it up, and we continually make us feel distant from God and make us feel like second-class Christians, then we are saying, in essence, well, the sacrifice of Jesus wasn't sufficient. Now, I just have to insert a little note here. We understand that there's a whole lot more that happened on the cross besides Jesus being the sacrifice for our sins. He also tackled our enemy, the devil, and defeated him. He has assured us that one of these days there will be a new heaven and a new earth. There will be no more sickness, no more death. By his own resurrection, he guaranteed our own future resurrection. So there's a whole lot of stuff that happens at the death and resurrection of Jesus. But I just want us to concentrate this morning on this one thing of forgiveness that comes through Jesus. Total forgiveness. In case you're wondering, in case you're thinking, yeah, but Herschel, you don't know what I've done. You don't know how bad I've been. You just don't know and you don't want to know. Yeah, you're right. I probably don't want to know. Although the Bible does say, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another and you will be healed. But we have this guy in the New Testament named Simon Peter who was one of Jesus' three best friends from the day Jesus saw him and called him to be his disciple. He was basically with Jesus night and day. And he came to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ. He didn't know yet that Jesus was God, not till after the resurrection. And he was there the night that Jesus was arrested, the night before Jesus was crucified. And he had said, because Jesus had said, everybody's going to run away. And Peter said, not me. I'll never run away. And they arrest Jesus, and Peter follows at a distance to the place they take Jesus. And two different times, people come and say to him, you're one of them. And he denies it. And the last time, he curses and swears and says, I'm not part of that group. In other words, he denied that he knew Jesus. He denied that he knew Jesus. He betrayed Jesus Christ. You got it? Here's a man that had everything God had done for him, and when the chips were down, he betrayed Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, there's no sin worse than that. That's a forgivable sin. And guess what happened? When Jesus rose from the dead, he told Mary Magdalene, he said, go tell the disciples and Peter that I go before them into Galilee. Meet me there. And so he singles out Peter to let Peter know that he's forgiven. If Peter can be forgiven for what he did, you can be forgiven. Got it? There's no sin too big for God. Even the sin of resisting the Holy Spirit that Jesus said is an unforgivable sin is forgivable if you turn from it, if you stop resisting the Holy Spirit. That's just, if you go into the next life saying no to God, calling God a liar, that's a bad, bad situation. And then there's somebody else, and it's the one we know as the Apostle Paul. And Paul was a very famous theologian among the Jews, very well known, very well trained, totally committed to his understanding of God, totally committed to his understanding of the Bible. And yet he rejected the Messiah when the Messiah came. And he spent the next couple of years rounding up and helping punish Christians and even have Christians executed. Not just men, but women as well, it says. And one day, you know, he's going to Damascus to find some more Christians to torment, to persecute, maybe to kill. And Jesus Christ meets him. I'm not going to go into how the story goes, but he's knocked off of his horse and he's blinded by the presence of Jesus Christ, and Jesus saves him, forgives him of his sin. So I just want to say, I doubt there's anybody in this room who's ever gone looking for Christians to kill them. But if you have, first of all, we'll turn you over to the police, and then we'll tell you how Jesus can forgive you. But we think about terrorists today. There are terrorists who are killing Christians right now. Do you know that if they will turn to Jesus Christ and sincerely ask for forgiveness, they can be forgiven? Totally forgiven. They can be as acceptable in God's presence as a little baby who's never sinned yet because of what Jesus did on the cross. So, I hope you're getting the message. I hope you're accepting it. I hope you're believing it. So then, how can we receive this kind of forgiveness? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So we go to God, we confess our sins. In our hearts, we ask Him to help us turn from our sins. And He forgives us and He cleanses us. He removes our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. Now, there's an initial experience of doing this when we first come to Jesus. That's what we call being saved or being born again, where for the first time we come to God through Jesus Christ, His Son, and we say, Jesus, I know You died on the cross for me. You took my place, and I ask You now to forgive me of my sins and to come into my heart. And that begins this lifetime process of being made actually holy. But as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, I make a practice every single morning, I think almost without exception, even if I'm not actually aware of some actual noticeable sin that I did. Now, I'm sure Lucy's aware of those things. But I come to God and I say, please, I confess my sin to You. Please forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I just like to stay clean. I just like to stay clean. And if there is anything that I am ashamed of or guilty about, I give it to Jesus. And He cleanses me. And I just want to recommend that as a daily practice in your life, because it just keeps you fresh. It keeps you clean. It's like taking your shower in the morning, your physical shower for your body. In South Texas, it's necessary to take showers frequently. And because we're human beings, saved by grace, it's necessary to be cleansed through what Jesus does for us. So, is there any way that we could miss this indescribable blessing? Is there any way? Well, 1 John 1:8 and verse 10 says this, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is not in us. So I think the only way you can miss this indescribable blessing is to say, I'm sinless. I'm not. The others have sinned, but I haven't sinned. Well, not very many people are going to do that, right? And I don't think that'll be you. But it's so important to acknowledge before God how we need His grace and how we need His forgiveness. So come boldly. We come boldly once we've asked forgiveness. Hebrews chapter 10, 19 says this, friends, we can now. This again is from the Message. We can now, without hesitation, walk right up to God into the holy place. Jesus has cleared the way by the blood of His sacrifice, acting as our priest before God. The curtain into God's presence is His body. So let's do it, full of belief, confident that we're presentable inside and out. I love it. We come boldly. We come with courage. We walk right into God's presence without fear because we've been cleansed by what Jesus has done for us. And then we pass it on. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And this is so important. Once you realize who you are and what you've done and what Jesus has done for you, then you're set up to be a person who extends forgiveness to other people. Many of you here have been sinned against, maybe by your parents, maybe by your kids, maybe by a spouse, or a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or by an employer, or by somebody, just somebody in your life. You've been sinned against. Something bad has happened. Well, there's a guy named James Brian Smith who wrote a very good book on forgiveness called The Good and Beautiful Community. And he tells the story of a student named Stan who came into James's office at a university. He was shaking and crying. He decided to trust Professor Smith. The night before, he had tried to commit suicide. He then told Smith that at the age of 13, a trusted family member who had taken him camping and teaching him sports, etc., began to sexually abuse him and had for 5 years. And that man threatened Stan that if he ever told this, bad things would happen to him. But now he was bringing it to a Christian. After an hour's conversation, Smith referred Stan to professional counseling. After a month, Stan came back to Professor Smith's office. And after hearing him preach on God's acceptance and forgiveness, he wanted to experience that. He wanted to know this forgiveness I've talked about today, this total forgiveness of his own sins. And he wanted to know the love of God, so he prayed for that, and immediately he received a sense that God was at work. Professor Smith sent him into Christian community with other Christian students. A month later, he wanted to share his testimony at the student group meeting. Stan did, and he told how God had changed him, and changed him, and the term he used was, he changed me from a caterpillar to a butterfly. This was by receiving forgiveness. A few months later, he came back to the office and said, since God forgave me all my sins, then I figure that he would also forgive the man who molested me. Now that's a big step, isn't it? I want to tell him about Jesus and that I forgive him for what he did to me. Do you think that's a good idea? He asked Smith. Cautiously, Smith, who didn't want to forgive the man himself, taught Stan how to forgive the man and how to approach him, but warned him the man would probably refuse to admit anything. And that's the way it was. The man that Stan went to didn't even admit that it ever happened. But still, Stan forgave him and went on to be used by the Lord in wonderful ways. So Stan did not extend forgiveness for himself or to have peace. He didn't go to forgive this man for himself or to get peace. But he went with Jesus wanting this man to turn to Jesus, wanting this man to be completely forgiven, to receive forgiveness and have peace in his own heart. The man said no. But the point is that when we understand what God has done for us in Jesus and we really get it, this through this process of being made holy becomes our heart and our life. And we are able then to extend the forgiveness and mercy of God to people all around us, and it begins to transform the culture around us. See, Jesus has started a revolution, and we are called to be part of it. And I'm just going to say, we need to come now to Jesus, who will forgive us totally. He'll make us a new person. We start believing now that we are totally forgiven, and we will receive the Lord's joy.